It is good to be here today. Good to see each one of you here today. We come together to celebrate this special day, and it is special. It's special to me anyway. And my daughter and her husband, Gary Enns and Cindy, are here today. And I'm proud of it. The rest of them, I think, had their families to come. When you get as old as I am, you got so many families and grandyoungers and great-grandyoungers and cousins and aunts and stuff. It's hard to get them all together. I'm thankful that Cindy and Gary made it today, and they're so precious to me. I'm not the preacher. I'm a substitute today. You know, when you break a glass out of a window, you put in something else. You put a substitute or something in there, you know. Well, I was preaching at this church one Sunday, and I made that statement that I was a substitute today. The window was broken, and I was a substitute, per se. Preached a real good sermon. Yes. I started out the back door, and this lady collared me and said, "You're not a substitute, you're a real pain." This is a special day for fathers and mothers and families, and a good excuse to get together, fellowship together, love one another, break bread, drink iced tea, and talk about old times. And I believe you me, I've got some old times. This morning I wanted to speak on when God calls a man. What happens when God calls a man? I want to look just a moment for a couple of verses out of Ephesians chapter 6. This has to do with the life spirit-built believers as children and servants of God. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Cindy, remember that. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we have today to be in your house, Father, to praise your precious name, to fellowship with one another, and to visit with our families, dear Heavenly Father. We pray, God, that you would guide us. You give us the word to say, Lord. Give us the message you bring this morning, dear Heavenly Father, that would be pleasing in your sight and draw us closer to you, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you and we love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Absolutely, this is right. We need to obey our parents, children. That doesn't stop there. It says, honor your father and your mother, which is a commandment with promise. Why? What are we promised through obeying our parents? We are promising that we're going to do the best we can for them. But it also says that you may be well, that it may be well with you, that thou mayest live long on earth. And your fathers, provoke not your children. We live in a world today where broken homes and all the things that could happen in the home. And I believe the day that the devil looks at that and he says, if I can tear the families up, if I can tear the families up some way or another, I can tear the neighborhood up, I can tear the churches up, I can tear the whole world, the whole country apart, if I can just separate families. But we have got instructions here to conquer that, to cure that, to take hold of that, that it might be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And we do that by not provoking our family. Maybe I've not always been the best dad in the world. Maybe I provoked them a little bit now and then. Don't you laugh, Cindy. But not provoke them to the point of breaking a family up. And this happens so many times. When families have dissension in the family, they might break up. And so we let this happen. Fathers have a hard job. They have a hard job. Mothers have a hard job. But fathers, their issues are different than the mothers. The mother, they say the one that rocks the cradle rules the world, and the roost and the rooster and the whole thing. But fathers have a difficult time too. There's times in our bringing our children up that we don't always be able to say what we think. We're not able to express ourselves the what we would think we would do because of hurting the feelings of our children or turning our children against us or hurting their feelings. Sometimes we want to speak out. We just want to let it all fly out and just get wrong side out about something. We can't do that. Although I did sometimes. That's when I was young and I didn't know better until God taught me how to be a father, how to be the kind of father that we need to be. Not that I've always been that. I'm guilty, like everybody else, of not being everything I need to be. Sometimes we have to be tough. Sometimes it's hard to say no. It's hard to say no to your children. And that hurts inside. That hurts real bad inside when you know you need to, but you can't. You just have to be tough and tough it out. And sometimes we have to be tender. Even when they might be wrong or they might be guilty of something, we have to recognize that they're hurting inside too. That we might be able to smooth things over for them. We have to be all kinds of things. But I know that the devil would like for us to not be all these things. In our married life, we have difficult times, but if we're full of the Spirit of God, if we are in Him, in Christ Jesus, then God has a word for us as a married couple raising our children. And it comes out of Ephesians 5, a few verses here. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. First of all, submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God, that we might be the kind of parents that children need in their lives, that we might be an inspiration to them. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let your wives be in their own husband in everything. In everything. But it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ so loved the church. And what did he do? He gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. Once we learn to love one another the way God intended, things to get better. In the families, in your communities, in the whole world. It's got to. Once we learn to love the way that Jesus loved, the way that God has made arrangements for us to love, and all that he has given us, things will get better. For us, all the world. I looked for for something very fitting today for Father's Day. I come to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and we covered this in Sunday school this morning somewhat. I was amazed because I hadn't looked at my Sunday school lesson until this morning, how God fits things together. It tells us a change of command. It tells us about the call, when God calls a man, what he expects of him and how he wants to help him. And if you're a called Christian in this world today, whether you be a man, woman, or child, or whatever you might be, God is going to give you, God is going to give you some good advice. Some advice that will help you through this world, help you through the family life, help you through your children, and help you through it all. He says that now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' mentor, as saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I will give them, even unto the children of Israel. First thing he does, he says, Moses is dead. Joshua, you got a job to do. When God calls us, he said, you got a job to do. I'm not going to give you a job to do unless I prepare you and tell you what it's all about and tell you the benefits of it and how you can gain and how you can be satisfied in this world that you might be able to help somebody else. And first thing he does is turn all the children of Israel over to him. And he said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses. He's passing the mantle down to Moses, to Joshua. He had given Moses so many instructions, and Moses was not going to be able to carry it through because of his discrepancies. You know, Moses got mad because things didn't work out when God promised him water and took that staff and he tailed it around, made it into a snake, hit that rock. And that's one of the reasons that God wasn't going to let him go into the promised land. So he didn't get to go, but he turned it over to someone else, maybe more capable. He said, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even into the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be their coast, your coast and all the people's coast. He says, there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life as I was with Moses. The promise is still good. So I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God's promise that when he calls a person, a man to do a job, a father to do a job, a father to raise his family, a father to make a living for his family, to do all those things, he gives him a promise. He said, nothing can stand in front of you. He said, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God's promise to us today, to every one of us, you set your eyes on me. You love me. You live the best that you can for me. I got to work for you. I want you to be a witness for me. And in doing this, he says, I will never fail you and I will always be with you. That's God's promise to us. That's God's promise to us through all eternity, that I will be with you even unto the end of time, he says. And I want you to notice what he said now, men. Be strong. Be strong. Be of good courage. For in this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Our world's in a turmoil today, just as it has been since the beginning of time. God said then, be strong. And he's saying today, be strong. Men, are you strong as you need to be? Are you strong to your families as you need to be? Are you standing erect and strong in God today in what you believe? Are we standing up for what God has taught us today? Are we standing up as strong as we ought to? Or this doesn't suit me. I'm going to sit down over in the corner somewhere. Somebody might call on me to do something, and I don't want to get involved in it. God says, be strong. Be strong. And of a good courage. Verse 7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor the left, that thou mayest prosper wherever thou goest. Men, are your eyes turning away from what you know is right? Are we looking around? As we studied the Sunday school lesson this morning, I believe we're guilty today of turning our heads to the right and to the left, looking for something better, better than what God Himself has given us, better for us to satisfy what we think is our need. God gave us the best that it was. He started from the beginning in the Garden of Eden. He gave the best that He had. He gave the best that He could to every prophet. He gave the best that He could to everyone. He gives the best today, and He says, strong and be very courageous. We can be courageous in a little bit of stuff, but then we want to hide and say, well, there might be something over here I like better. I'd like to see my bank account grow. I'd like to have more land. I'd like to have a pretty automobile and a boat and a SUV and all these toys that we have. We look over at the left and say, boy, I might want to trade some of that for some of this over here. He said, don't look to the right or to the left. I've already given you everything you need. I give you everything you need. And the only thing we need in this world is Jesus Christ. And to learn to live together and love one another and help each other grow up in this world. This God-fearing people. Are we willing to stand? Are we willing to stand up? We have to ask yourself that question. Am I willing to stand in the time? Am I willing to stand in the gap? Am I willing to stand in the gap when that one falls? And that soldier gets killed, and that soldier gets his leg broke off, shot off something. Am I willing to stand up in that gap then? Be of good courage, for unto this people shall divide an inheritance of all inheritances. Be courageous, thou mayest serve to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from right to left, that you may prosper wherever I say go. Wherever God says go, that we might prosper. We prosper when we receive Jesus Christ. That's all we need. We prosper when we say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I need you in my life. I can't handle it without you. I can't do without you any longer. I don't know of anything else I need. I got you. I got all that I need. When we come to the place in our hearts and our lives, we can stand and say that with all conviction. Stand and say, God, I love you today. I want to change my life. I want to be courageous. I want to stand up and do what's right. I want to do what you want have me to do. You give me that strength. You give me that way of life. And I want all of that. I don't want that over there. I don't want that over there. I don't want that back there. What I want is right in front of me today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody goes to the Father except by me. Keep your eyes on him. And thou shalt be saved. Like the old Philippian jailer, old Paul said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe. Believe with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul, and all your body. Believe everything that's within you that Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. And I'll be with you. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We rate success as up here above most folks. I want to go up the ladder where I can look down on everybody. God wants to make us prosper, that we'd be on a level plane with all his people. When I get to heaven, I don't want to be up there above anybody else. I don't want to be above anybody else looking down, and I won't be, because God keeps me low. I thank God that he keeps me humble from day to day, and I know that he'll have a place for me on a level playing field. Because he said, I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come again. There's a lot of mansions up there, boy. But I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't care less about a mansion unless God's prepared it for. I'd rather be a tent keeper in heaven than live in the Biltmore estate up in the mountains. Amen. I asked God for a little bit. The love of Jesus Christ and a family that loves me and we love everyone else around about us. I'm asked for a little bit, and I asked for a sandwich, and he gave me the whole pantry. What more could we have? Have not I commanded thee? Listen to this. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God will be with thee wherever thou goest. God wants to hold your hand. God wants to walk with you. God wants to be with you everywhere you go. And I'm going to tell you something. I've always heard old folks talk about crossing that river. Praise God, when I cross that river, I want Jesus to take me by the hand and lead me through the promised land. What more could I ask for? God's grace, his love is sufficient. His promises are fulfilling. In this special day that we call Men's Day, is a day to make decisions for you and I, or all the others round about us. Make decisions to follow him. We could say, Lord, we sing the song, say, Lord, where you lead, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow. Where you lead, I'll follow. I'll follow you. wherever you go, because I know where you go, it's going to be right. Wherever you go, I want to follow you. I'm going to ask you today, are you following Jesus the way you should? Are you following as fathers, mothers, and children? Are you following Jesus the way that you should? The way the Bible tells us we should? Are we following him in that love and that mercy and that grace and that humbling our hearts before him? Say, Lord, you've given way too much, but I thank you and I praise you for it. Lord, I have more than a need. Help me to share it with somebody else. Help me to share the gospel with somebody else. Help me to tell somebody today that Jesus loves me today. Jesus loves me today, and he's coming back one day that I might go with him. The sad part of it is when Jesus comes back and takes his children home, if I read things correctly, there'll be some that won't go. And that's the sad truth. That is our responsibility. To be a witness for him in everything we do and everywhere we go. To raise our children in a way and teaching them that God loves them. Being the father that God would expect us to be. Being the encourager that God would expect us to be. And ask you today, are you encouraging your children? Are you encouraging your grandchildren? Are you sharing with them? Are you sharing what has happened through your life? How God's grace has got you through this far? How God has helped you even when the roads get rough and steep? That God has helped you? That God has helped you through the valleys and over the mountaintops and through the mire and through the bushes and through the briars? That God has always been there for us? Are you telling them that kind of thing? My grandfather, when I was, he was still living. One of my grandfathers was the only one I ever knew. He would sit down and tell, read the Bible. He sat on the front porch and rocked and read his Bible. And he'd share all the things out of it with you. The Bible says for us to share with our children, to share with them, set them down and talk to them about how good God is, how good God is and what God has done for us. Share with them the stories that meant so much to you, the stories that you knew that God, when you knew that God loved you. Share the stories about how you were saved, how Jesus came into your life. When I was 12 years old at an Easter egg hunt, this dear lady was a Sunday school teacher, a saint of God if there's ever been one. She shared that with us, and my life was changed. Oh, I've drifted some, no doubt, because I'm weak. I'm not strong as I ought to be. But that sharing that saved my soul. I couldn't wait on Sunday morning to split that aisle wide open, come down and tell that preacher I needed something. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I needed it. Salvation's free. Living in the world's costly. It may cost you to follow Jesus, but it costs you a lot more not to. Are you the living example that God would have you to be? Only you can answer that question. Only you and God knows. That's his business, not my business. You can be truthful with him or you can hold back. But God knows your need. God knows your need today. If you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, God knows your need today. God has a cure for everything that's wrong in your life. God wants to help you today. God wants you to come to Him. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If you'll just open that door and let me in, I'll come and live in you and be with you, and I'll be with you, and I'll walk with you every day. And I will help you through life. And you can have the peace and the joy that only that God can give. But you have to open that door and let Him in. You have to say, Lord, I need you. I need you. I wonder if there's one here today that's be willing to say that. Be honest with God. Say, Lord, I need you today. If you are, would you be willing to come and say this morning, Lord, I need you, and I need to be saved, Lord. I know how. Call upon your name and receive you into my heart and life. And I know what to do. We be courageous today. You may be here and been in church all your life. I don't know what your need is, but you recognize it. Would you be willing to call on His name today and be saved? What a wonderful day, Father. I don't know you. Every one of you, I hope, are saved. There might be one. It's not. Mothers, boys, girls, you know what your need is today. Would you be willing to stand today for Jesus and say, yes, Lord, you've done so much for me and I've done so little for you. But I want to change that. I need you in my life. I can't handle some of the things I'm facing. I trust you today, Lord. Would you come into my life today? If you feel that today, the Santa comes and plays softly. We're not going to sing anything. We can sing till we're blue in the face, and it's not going to change your mind. What's going to change your mind is when God reaches out and touches you. When God comes out and fingers around your heart and says, now's the time, today is the day. Come to me now, while there's time. While there's time. I am going to ask you to do one thing today. I'm going to ask you to stand and reverence the Lord God. If God is drawing you today, Don't give the devil a victory. Give Jesus a victory today in your heart. Come to know Him today. If you feel like that today, you come up here, I'll tell you how to be saved. It's simple enough. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It says that old jailer, it says in all his household. You know, we affect a lot of people. Whatever we do, we affect a lot of people by our actions. In the stillness of this moment, of this little time, one more chance. I hope God comes back today. I had an epidural the other day, and the doctor and I were talking. We talked about our Christian life a lot. He said, when's Jesus coming back? I said, I don't know. He hadn't told me. He said, when you want Him back? I said, about 9 seconds before you put that needle in my back.